This is Greg Lancaster, and I trust that you enjoy this teaching from God's Word, equipping the saints to do the work of the church to bring God's kingdom here on earth. Enjoy. Hello, VFN family. Today we're going to be talking about nesting, sort of like a bird nests. Say nesting. Say that with me. Nesting. You know, Jesus called us out from the world. Say that. Jesus called us out from the world, out of our comfort zones. Did you know that? He actually called us out of our comfort zones. If you have your Bibles with me, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. You know, as you're turning, I want to open up in prayer first. Father God, we just love you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that you speak to our hearts. We thank you even now, Lord God, that you are speaking to us through this word, through your living word, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that's going to accomplish everything that it set out to do, Father God. I bless everyone that's in the hearing and the seeing of this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, before we get started reading the scripture, I want to just start talking about the workplace. When you think about the workplace, that there's some people that actually advance really fast in the workplace. You know, these are people that are willing to start off on the bottom floor. They're willing to be flexible to meet whatever need at that particular time. But the biggest thing they're willing to do is to relocate. They're ready at a moment's notice because they know if I relocate, then I'll get that next promotion or something would happen like that. They're willing to literally give up their nest egg for the potential of what they can have in the future. They're willing to leave the nest. They're willing to step up and say, you know what, if I'm going to advance in this workplace, I could stay right here all I want to, but I know if there's an opening in Kansas in the same company and I'm qualified for it, they go, well, I'll take that opening in Kansas up there. And in one of our most dangerous times in our lives as human beings, is that when we've got our nest all together, when we got our little nest egg. And the reason why it is because it's a dangerous time where we can start turning to or trusting in that nest and start protecting that nest because we're putting our trust in that nest. And God told Israel, he says, listen, don't forget about me. Don't forget about me when I bring you into the promised land, when I give you a wonderful nest. Don't focus on the nest. Focus on me. And what do? Yep, they did it. They began to focus on the nest. They began to nest in the concept of the promised land. And then began to take credit for the nest, that their hands had actually done it. And God had to take them out of the nest that he had promised them in the promised land. Why? Because they missed it. God tells us that, and we're going to find out about it, that it's very important how we perceive, because what Jesus is telling us, and he's going to tell us, we're finding out that we need to recognize what nesting is, you know, and we'll describe a little bit more in a minute. But just think about a bird's nest. You know, it's made up of things a bird gathers along the way, and it's strategically placed and interwoven to give that bird the greatest amount of comfort. Say that with me. The greatest amount of comfort. It's normally so comfortable that some mother birds literally have to begin to take it apart to make it uncomfortable so that what? The baby birds will begin to go out and be birds themselves. Because they begin to think, well, you know, this is wonderful. And the mother bird's going, well, no, this is my nest. And it's for them to grow up and to be what they need to be, the mother bird literally has to make that nest uncomfortable. Look at Luke chapter 9, and we're talking about nesting. And I'm asking you a question. Are you nesting? Luke 9, chapter 9, verse 57, Jesus is talking about the cost of following him. There's a cost of following Jesus. In verse 57, reading, as Jesus and his disciples were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. I'll follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I got a question for you. Are you nesting? Jesus didn't nest. He didn't nest. He goes on a little bit further in verse 59. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. in today's tradition and today's gospels being preached, people go, okay, let's stop everything. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. He literally told him, no, you need to go do what you said you're going to do. You're going to follow me. You need to go proclaim the kingdom of God. Jesus is saying this to all of us, that when he calls us and we say we're following him to do what? To proclaim the kingdom of God. He says the kingdom of God will be preached to all, and then what? The end will come. What's the end? The end is God's kingdom, new Jerusalem, new earth, manifesting in our presence. In verse 61, he says, still another man said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. I have never seen such a twisted gospel that tells people it becomes so fleshly family focused that they totally don't even understand the blood family that comes through Jesus Christ and totally neglect Jesus while they're focusing on the flesh. Jesus replied to them, he says, no one who puts their hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. This is Jesus's words. Think about it. Thank God we're finding out about his kingdom. Thank God that we're supposed to know about his kingdom and he's telling us about it. What if we didn't know? It wasn't these guys' desire to follow Jesus. Once they said, I want to follow you, he says, well, this is how you follow me. You follow me. That's how you do it. And so Jesus' response to those who want to follow him is don't nest. If you're going to follow Jesus, don't nest. He didn't have a nest. We shouldn't have a nest. Now, nesting is defined as this, you know, a snug retreat, a refuge, a resting place, a home to settle, a place or something in, or as a nest or something. Imagine if you're packing dishes in a box and you're going to ship them off. You nest them in so they don't get broken. You know, a nest basically is equal to comfort and convenience, a place where you physically stay instead of obey. You know, I would do that, but my job. Oh, how about on your job? Oh, but you know, I would do that, but my spouse. You know, I would do that, but my children, but my parents. And he goes on for days. So the comfort zone. So literally a nest, and what we're talking about right here, Jesus slept. He laid his head down. But you know, it wasn't as relevant as America's made it out to be and the American Gospels made it out to be. It's not that relevant. Our comfort zone, think about it. Maybe it's your home, you know. It's just like that bird. You got it all set up just the way you want it to, and it's where you get comfort. Maybe it's your job or your career. Just like the bird, you have it just the way you want it, so it gives you all the maximum amount of comfort. Maybe it's your relationships, you know, they got them just the way you like your relationships, you know, giving you just the comfort that you want. Maybe it's your family, just like the birds, you know, you got it all, you're all nested in there and it's just like you want. You got it totally set up the way you want it. As a matter of fact, when anybody ruffles your feathers, your nest, you start carrying on. Why? Because it's about the nest and not about Jesus. There's a strange gospel, strange fire that's being preached. And it's time for the truth to come out. This false gospel is being preached saying there's no cost. There's no cost. Not only is this strange gospel coming with nests, but literally you're expected to nest. Don't go anywhere. Don't preach the gospel. Stay here. Don't multiply. It's crazy. That's not God's gospel. Most of their prayers, these nesters, a strange gospel, their prayers are in support of their nests. You know, it's a cheap gospel, as if there's another gospel, while most of them can't even explain the kingdom of God that they proclaim to be in and are supposed to proclaim to everybody else. They can't even explain it. Makes you wonder, don't it? Makes you wonder. Look at Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 25, we're talking about nesting. You know, what is the difficulty? Why is the gospel not being preached? Why are we hearing more about Satan and the acts of darkness and all these other things other than the believer proclaiming the kingdom of God? We're finding out here, the nest, their nest. Luke 14, verse 25 through 35, it talks about the cost, say the cost. The cost for being a disciple of Jesus. There's a cost. You know, salvation is free because Jesus paid for it with his life, but it costs us everything. We give ourselves to him. In verse 25, large crowds were traveling with Jesus and turned to his disciples and said to him, he said to all these guys that were following him, verse 26, if anyone comes to me, if anyone, say that's me, that's me. If anyone comes to me, Jesus said, and does not hate, wow, his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Oh my goodness. This is Jesus' word. What are we preaching that we skipped over this very important part of the words of God? I thought I was supposed to just be all lovey-dovey to everybody. No, we love God. We preach the gospel. That's what we do. And true love is preaching somebody the gospel so they don't end up in the pits of hell and telling them the truth. You know, love equals obeying God, obedience to God. That's what love is. And to hate God is not to obey God. Look at, well, I'll just say these scriptures for you. You can turn if you want to, but John 14, 15, Jesus tells us, if you love me, you will obey my commands. John 14, 21, Jesus said, whoever has my commands and obey them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Oh my goodness. I love God. It's like, but why are you so challenged when you hear about the truth that God would want in your life? Why do you even hesitate? To love God is not to say, oh, I love you, God. It's not to sing a pretty song to him. It's to obey him. By the grace of God and the view of his mercies, to have a desire to find out what he wants and do it. That's love. That's what you feel like when your children or your spouse or your friend or somebody does something for you and you ask them to do something, they don't hesitate, they just do it. There's something, you just feel good. You know, we're flawed. Imagine how God feels when we do that. John 14, 24, Jesus said, he who does not love me will not obey my teachings. Why am I saying all that? I'm saying this because it's just told us that if we don't hate our fathers, he says right here in verse 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, and yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. So what is he saying here? He's saying here, hatred of your father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, friends, even your own life is saying this. This is what he's really saying. If you choose, or if you have to choose, say have to, and somebody backs you in a corner. Somebody's expecting you to do something. So if you have to choose between obeying Father God and obeying your earthly father, and you choose to obey God, he's saying this, your earthly father will feel hated, but your heavenly father will feel loved. That's what he's saying. But what happens if you choose to obey your earthly father over your heavenly father? Well, you're actually loving your earthly father, and you're hating God. That's what he's saying. If you have to choose between obeying Father God and obeying your mother, and you choose to obey God, your mother will feel hated by you, but God will feel loved by you. If you have to choose now, between obeying Father God and obeying your wife, sir, listen to me. If you have to choose between obeying Father God and obeying your wife, and you choose to obey God and she puts you in that place, she's going to feel hated. But you know what? God's going to feel loved. If you have to choose between obeying Father God and obeying your children, and you choose to obey God, your children who put you in that place, they're going to feel hated. But you know what? God's going to feel loved. If you have to choose between obeying Father God and obeying your brothers, and you choose obeying God, your brothers are going to feel hated by you. Quit trying to get along with everybody. Realize that if you're going to, the truth divides. The truth divides. It divides people who want to follow God from the people who don't want to follow God. It divides people who are in the light to people who are in the darkness. There's no such thing as a dim light. You're either light or you're dark. You got to make up your mind what you're going to be. So he's telling us, right, if you don't hate, what he said, if you don't obey me and you obey them instead of me, you're hating me. And how do we love him? We obey him. So yes, if you have to choose between obeying your father and obeying your brothers, and you choose to obey God, your brother is going to feel hated by you. But God's going to feel loved by you. I guess it boils down to, who do you want to feel loved by? Whose love are you trying to give and get? If you have to choose between obeying God and obeying your sisters, and you choose to obey God, your sisters are going to feel hated. But you know what? God's going to feel loved. They only feel hated because they were trying to get you to do something that was dark. Because they wouldn't put you in that place if they loved the same God you love. Your brother wouldn't have put you in that place if they follow the same God you follow. You got to understand, they were following somebody else. Just good. This is what he means. We can't skip over the words of the Son of God, who said nothing unless the Father God told him. This is God talking to us. So if you have to choose between obeying Father God and obeying your sin nature, and you choose to obey God, guess what your sin nature is going to feel like? It's going to feel hated. But guess what? God's going to feel loved. That's what he's saying. That's pretty important. He says, if we don't do that, we can't even be his disciples. In other words, we just can't follow every Tom, Dick, and Harry out there. We can't just follow a relative or a friend just because they're a friend, just because they're a relative. We got to find out what God is saying. We got to follow God. Well, they won't like me. No, they probably will feel hated by you because they don't love the same God you love. But if you at least draw the line, they'll know which side they're on, and maybe they'll choose one day to follow him. So if you are related or close to someone who loves God, you don't want to make them choose between you and God. You're not going to like the answer. You're just not going to like the answer. So Jesus goes on to say right here, he says in verse 27, he says, "And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you," and he starts to explain this here, "suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost?" Everybody say cost. "To see if he has enough money to complete it. And if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.'" How many people say they're going to follow God and they didn't even understand the cost? The cost was them. And when they started finding us, like, "I think God's asking me for me." That's what he's saying. Didn't count the cost. The cost was the Son of God. He took our place. It was going to be us. But we lived because of Jesus. But we're no longer our own. We've been bought with a price. It's us. It cost. But it's awesome. It's what we're created for. So 31, he says, "Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? And if he's not able, will he send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace?" In other words, listen, let's get real here. He's saying, listen, I don't care if you sit down with a slide rule. You need to determine if you're going to give your life to God or not. You got to make a decision. Are you going to follow me? The guy says, "I'm going to follow you." Just for him saying, "I'm going to follow you," didn't make him a follower. He says, "Great. Well, let me tell you, let me explain to you what it's like to be a follower of me." "Oh, but let me," "No, let the dead bury the," "Oh, but no, come, preach the kingdom, enter in." And look at 33, and this is what I'm talking about here. Jesus said, "In the same way," say that, "in the same way, any of you who does not give up," what? "Their nests." Oh my goodness. "Any of you who does not give up everything he has," stop being a nester, "cannot be my disciple." He says, "Salt is good, but if it loses," oh my goodness, there it goes again. How could it lose? I thought once salt, always salt. "But salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It goes on to say, verse 35, it is fit neither for the soul nor for the manure pile. It's thrown away. He who has ears, Jesus said, let him hear. My goodness, he's talking about if we're not willing to give up everything, if we're not willing to give up, you know, the thing quite often God is saying, I don't necessarily want to take it from you, but if you don't give it up, I will. But if you'll give it to me, I'll be the Lord of that. And it won't be your nest. It'll be my nest I let you have. It's a whole different perspective. It's a whole different perspective. John 8:34, Jesus tells us, if you hold to or obey my teachings, you're really my disciple. What's he saying? He's saying the very same thing he's been saying. Listen, I got commands. I got ways I want you to walk in. Listen, I'm going to give you mercy. I'm going to give you grace. I'm going to pay the price for your sin. But guess what? You're entering into my kingdom. You're a follower of me. This is what you do. Praise God. And this is good. I mean, think about it. I mean, you know, if you're miserable right now, you know, in your life, you're miserable because you're thinking about nesting. You're looking at your nest. You know, what color it is, and can it be more comfortable? And look at so-and-so's nest. Their nest is bigger than my nest, and we need a bigger nest. There's not enough room for all. We're not called to be nesters. We're called to be imitators of those who didn't nest in their life. Did you know that? We're called to be imitators of those that have gone before us. In Hebrews 6:12, he says, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherited what had been promised to them. He's saying, listen, I want you to look back and study the men and women of God. And he said, I want you to imitate them. I want you to act like them. I want you to talk like them. I want you to believe like them. I want you to trust me like them. That's what he's saying. They were not nesters. They weren't concerned about a nest. An imitator, when you think about it, we're supposed to imitate those who walk boldly in faith to God. You know, Hebrews 13:7, it says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate what? Their faith. We're supposed to be imitators. Philippians 2:5 tells us, your attitude should be the same as Jesus Christ. How many people go, well, you know, that's Jesus, so I don't even think about living a life like Jesus. That's Jesus. I just let him live that life, and I kind of live over here, and I throw his name up every now and then to say, hey, you know, he did it. No, we're supposed to have the same attitude as him. But we just understand his mercy, grace, and forgiveness. We're supposed to be right in there with him, listening to what the Father says. We're supposed to be imitators. Now, the definition of imitate, to help you out, is to follow or endeavor to follow as a model or an example. That's why he tells us as leaders that we need to be an example to those we're actually leading through example. So mom and dad, you need to be an example in front of your kids. Dad, you need to be an example in front of your family. Brother, sister, you need to be an example in front of your family. Church leader, you need to be an example in front of your church. Why? So, because they're going to imitate you. And we're supposed to imitate. This is another definition of imitate is to make a copy of or reproduce closely. To have or assume the appearance of or to resemble. I need to find out what I need to look like. I need to find out what Jesus acted like. I need to find out what Jesus said. That's what I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you the very words of Jesus. I'm saying what he said, and I'm doing what he did, and that's what he wants us to do. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Let's take a quick look here. This one chapter sums up so many awesome men and women of God right here that shows us that they're not nesters. They weren't, and they were the least concerned about a nest in this life right here. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. He says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. Okay, so you have a hope, but you're not seeing something. What does that mean? It means everything on this earth is temporary. Things that you do see is temporary. Things that you don't see are eternal. So which nest are you going to have? Are you going to have the heavenly nest, or are you going to have the earthly nest? Jesus is building a place for us. Do you want to be in that one, or do you want to be in this one? You got to make up your mind. He said, this is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he's dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him first must believe that he exists, and he rewards, say that, he rewards, say that again, he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Say that again, say rewards. Rewards. You have to understand something here, that if you're looking for earthly rewards, you're going to miss heavenly rewards. If you're looking for rewards from people here on this earth, and you're missing the rewards from your Father, they can come in this lifetime and the lifetime to come. But remember those rewards. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet, in holy fear built an ark to save his family, but by his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. I'm telling you, I'm just like Noah building the ark, I'm telling you, in holy fear, I'm telling you this message. You have to shake yourself. Don't look horizontally at the twisted, perverted gospel that's being preached in this land. If it's not lining up with the Word of God, these are the words of Jesus. This is Jesus talking to you through me. It's His words. Praise God. This is exciting because all we needed to know was the blueprint. We just need to know where to go, what to do, and how to act. Hello, this is it. The people of faith. By faith, Noah did this. And by faith, verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents. Abraham didn't nest. He lived in tents. As did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him in the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations and whose architect and builder is God. Do you want the nest that you build, or do you want the nest that God builds? God builds no nest here on earth. Our nest is with him forever. Anything in this lifetime is temporary. James describes it as a vapor. In this life, we're focusing on the nest and the next life. It's awesome, huh? It's going to save you a lot of money. You're wasting so much money on your nest. Okay. So, praise God. But first, he was literally looking at, Abraham was looking at the heavenly nest. He was looking at not the earthly. He said, I don't care about all this stuff. And so we're supposed to imitate him. You know what? I need some basic things. Yeah, I got to lay my head down. This thing's got to happen. And God, I thank you for him. But listen, I worship you. I don't worship things. I don't nest here. I don't nest here. Verse 11, by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise to him. And so from this one man, verse 12, being as good as dead, think about that. He's as good as dead. But you know what? He didn't nest in the realities of a situation. He didn't nest when somebody, doctor told him, this can't happen. He didn't nest when the banker told him, this can't happen. He didn't nest when the employer said, it's just not going to happen. He didn't nest when his body was as good as dead. That means stop and focus. I guess that's it. And so from this one man, and he was good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Think about it. Thank God for men and women of faith. Thank God that he didn't want to nest and stop there. Verse 13, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. How about you? You keep on trying to relate and connect and you're supposed to live like an alien and a stranger. We're not supposed to nest here. You keep on trying to nest and it never works, and you don't know what's going on. It's because you don't belong here. This world is not your home. Praise God. It's a good word because it's going to free you up to go, oh my goodness. That's why I haven't been preaching the kingdom of God, because I've been nesting. I was nest focused. I listened to a nest message. I hang out with nest friends. It's like a big Nestle mix, isn't it? 14. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country. They are looking for a country, their own, a heavenly nest before the throne of God. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, right, the previous nest that got brought out of, they would have the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one, a heavenly nest. Therefore, God is not ashamed to call them, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a heavenly nest for them. He's prepared a city for them. You see what I'm saying? It's so important. I'm telling you, you can probably go to so many different traditional expressions, and all they're talking about is nesting. We're supposed to be going all over the place like ants and preaching the gospel. When the gospel's kingdom is preached to everybody, then the Lord returns and we go back. We go to heaven with Him in the rapture, and we come back down on horses to rule and reign with Him forever. It's not about this. It's about the soon coming King. In verse 17, by faith, we have to look at this because we're supposed to be imitators of these people. These are not people that we go, oh, I'm going to build a statue of this person. I'm going to say, man, look what he did. Look what she did. I got to go, okay, I got to write that down. This is what I need to do this. When I have a barren situation in my life, I go, okay, Abraham, facing the fact that he had a barren situation, still trusted God. You see what I'm saying? We're supposed to imitate these guys. We're not supposed to nest with bad news. We're supposed to nest with people who hate God, who come out against God. We're not supposed to. We're not supposed to get along with them. We just say, okay, you got your God. I'll honor you with that, but I'm not going to hang with you. In verse 17, by faith, Abraham, he didn't nest. When God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son. In other words, I can't do this. I can't. Why? Because, listen, do what God tells you to do. And so he's going to sacrifice his only son, even though God has said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regards to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was at the end of or near his life, spoke of the exodus verse 22, by faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about what? About his bones. He said, listen, my bones are not even going to nest in this land. Praise God. By faith, Moses' parents, they didn't nest. They hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. They didn't nest when there was a command put out over the land that was contrary to what God had said. They go, no, that's not going to happen here. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. What's he saying? He said, listen, my nest with the Father is of greater value than this nest here on the earth. And Egypt represents the world. Because he was looking ahead to what? The reward. That's what he's looking ahead to. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkling of the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them 7 times. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And he goes on verse 32. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions and quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign enemies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and floggings, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went, and they went about in sheepskin and goatskin, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. No nest, nothing on this earth was worthy of those who walked in faith. He said they wandered in the desert of the mountains and in caves and in holes of the ground. They didn't nest. They were just constantly about the Father's business. I know you've seen the gospel preached. I know you see people who claim to be Christians, but they never talk about Father. I know that you see things happening and they're building buildings and stuff like that, but they're not building kingdom. I know. They're wrong. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about you and me giving our life to Him, hearing what He says, and doing it with joy. Why? Because we're facing a heavenly reward. A nest that's greater than anything on this earth. They understood being a disciple wasn't an option. They understood that the great commandment wasn't the great suggestion. They understood that in this life that we're supposed to live like aliens, looking for the new Jerusalem, the new earth, and Jesus coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and ruling with Him. They didn't nest. They just didn't nest. They rejoiced in their persecution. They saw every opportunity they had left in this life. Whatever James describes as a vapor, but whatever chance time they had left, they sought a chance to be able to what? To seek those who don't know God, to preach the gospel to them so they can be saved, and to see that they're shepherded. So that's it. That's it. They seek out the lost, helping them become saved by preaching the gospel and shepherding and disciple of those who believe and raising them up to do the same thing. That's what we do. That's not something we do on the side. That's something that we are. That's our family. Nesting really occurs when we're focusing only on or more on this life instead of eternal life. We're focusing more on what we see instead of what we don't see. You know, our fleshly desires. Jesus didn't nest. You think about it. He stayed available. He stayed available. He was ready to step out even on the water, even if it meant the cross at a moment's notice. Whatever the Father said, He did. He was ready for to obey each commandment of the Father, and He did not miss one of them. He obeyed every one of them. He was always in the Father's business. That's what He always is doing. He's always in the Father's business. Think about this. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 49. You know, Jesus' mother was thinking that He was lost and she couldn't find Him anywhere. So she began to look for Him. When she found Him, He was there talking about His Father and with teachings with others. And He said to His mother, when she found Him, says, "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's business? Didn't you know? What are you doing asking me to do so? I have to be in my Father's business. What are you doing asking a son or a daughter of God to step outside the Father's business? What are you doing? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's business?" That's what Jesus is saying. How about you? You know, Jesus' mother was looking for Him. If someone started looking for you today, would they find you in your Father's business or in someone else's business? If someone was looking for you, would they find you obeying the great commandments or nesting in great comfort? Would they find you as someone who has counted the cost or someone who thinks the price is too high? found Jesus, he said, don't you know I have to be in my Father's business? As they find you, would they find you holding on to people, places, and things, or holding on to every preceding word that comes from the Father's mouth? Man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Think about Joseph. Though Joseph was close to his father, he was his favorite. You know what? He didn't nest there. He didn't nest there. Though he was betrayed by his brothers, he didn't nest there. You know, though he was chosen to be ruler of Potiphar's house, he didn't nest there. Though he was sold into slavery, he didn't nest there. Though he was placed in jail for an unjust charge, he didn't nest there. Though he was chosen to rule an entire country, Egypt, he didn't nest there. Even though he died there, he said, listen, I don't even want my bones to nest here. When you leave, take my bones with you because I'm going to a new land. How about you? Are you picking out your plot? Are you trying to find a place for your bones? Are you more focused about this earth or are you focused about the life to come? See, if you're struggling right now, if you're struggling in this life, it's more than likely you are nesting or you're nesting focused. You are focused on this life more than eternal life. You are focused on your kingdom or man's kingdom instead of the kingdom of God. Or as Jesus told Peter when he rebuked him in Matthew 16:23, he says, you're a stumbling block to me. You do not have on your mind the things of God, but the things of men. See, Peter was trying to get Jesus to nest. Jesus said, I need to go to Jerusalem. Peter said, whoa, 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 things are going good. Let's don't stir the nest up here. He was trying to get him to nest. That's what he's trying to do. Nester's conversations and justifications for nestings will be stumbling blocks to you as well. They'll hinder you from being in the Father's business. They'll hinder you from obeying God. You have to confront them. You have to confront that spirit, just like Jesus did. You can't let it keep going. You have to confront that spirit. If you are nesting, this message is offending you. It is blowing your cover. It's literally blowing the feathers out of your nest as I speak. But I'm telling you the words of Jesus. You can't just say, I want to follow you. He says, this is how you follow me. You know, in Colossians 3:2, we're told to set our mind on things above, on heavenly nest, not on things below or on earthly things. If you claim ownership of people, places, and things, you're a nester. If you really think your place of employment is only for the increase for you to be able to make a better nest, you're a nester. If most of your statements to others, your thoughts to yourself, and your prayers to God consist of these key words, I, me, mine, myself, you're a nester. You are more than likely a nester if some of these come to mind when you're thinking about yourself. If you're struggling with giving God his tithes and offerings, something so elementary, you're a nester. If you feel storing up treasures in heaven has less appeal and value to you than storing up treasures here on earth, you're a nester. If you think ministry is what someone else's does, you're a nester. If you think you are never supposed to mature in the ways of God, you're a nester. If you think obeying God is contingent upon money, relationships, and workplace, and family being just right, you're a nester. If everyone likes you or you want everyone to like you, you're a nester. And if you said, I will never move, I will never sell, I will never give up, I will never fill in the blank, you're a nester. You're a nester. You're saying you're God. You say you follow you. You're not saying you follow God. But listen to this. You're not a nester if these things apply. You're not a nester if you're an imitator of those who through faith have gone before you. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and His commandments as your lifestyle, you're not a nester. You're a follower of Jesus. If you are learning or have learned the commandments of Jesus and seek to obey them wholeheartedly in view of His mercies, you're not a nester. This is so important because He tells us, listen, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place. And we're to imitate those that we read about. If you refuse to conform to the ways of this world and its culture, no matter its threat, you're not a nester. If your primary focus is to give someone a chance to plainly hear the gospel and to shepherd those who believe, you're not a nester. You're not nesting. If you are able to dust the dust off the top of your shoes after someone has plainly rejected Jesus Christ, you're not a nester. If you are consumed with the return of Jesus and know that all you have to show Him is your proven trust and faith in obeying Him and walking with Him, you're not a nester. If your parents and family think you are crazy for obeying God, and you are obeying God, you're not a nester. If your husband or wife or children or parents or sister or brothers leave you because you're obeying God, and you continue to obey God, you're not a nester. If you understand and believe blood family is only those who are covered in the blood of Jesus by accepting Him as Lord and making Him Lord, you're not a nester. If someone who calls themselves a Christian or a minister hates you, criticizes you, talks negative about you or your ministry, and all you're doing is obeying God, and you continue to obey God, guess what? You're not a nester. And if your testimony of Jesus is not accepted by those you grew up with, and your ministry flops before them because of their lack of faith, and you still go on to the next city, the next town, and preach the same gospel, you're not a nester. Listen, instead of joining this wide road of destruction, this twisted gospel, living and preaching this strange gospel, realize if you are a child of God, if you're born again, you're supposed to live as aliens, as strangers in this land. You've got to become heavenly focused and kingdom-minded while we're here on earth. You know, this world is not your nest. It is not your home. We're told that in Hebrews 11:13 and 1 Peter 2:11. You know, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 lets us know that you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Don't nest. Turn to Mark chapter 10. We're going to talk about a rich young ruler here. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. This rich young ruler was a nester. He was all into his nest, being comfortable in this life and not even understanding it's about the life to come. Look at this, verse 17, Mark 10:17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now listen, Jesus is talking about salvation here. He's not talking about, what do I need to do to be a rabbi? What do I need to do to be a preacher? He says, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? 18, "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." The rich young ruler says, "Teacher," he declared. He said, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. Don't ever think He don't love you, but you still got to choose. Jesus looked at him and loved him. He says, "One thing you lack is the nest." He said, "One thing you lack." He said, "Go sell everything you have. Go sell your nest. That thing you've been holding on to, you've been trusting in. Everything was focused on that. Go sell it. That you turn to instead of me. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures, a nest, you will have treasures in heaven." Sounds like imitating those that have gone before us, don't it? "Then come and follow me." You mean I can't nest and follow? I don't know, is it working for you? Are you operating in the kingdom? When you hear the truth preached to you, do you go, "Oh, I'm just thankful. Oh, I want to follow that." Or do you like, argh? You got to make up your mind. You got to make up your mind. There's one thing you lack. He said, then follow me. At this, the man's face fell, Jesus said, or the word of God says. He went away sad because he had great wealth. He had a big nest. He had a great job. You know what I'm saying? He had a great house. He had good friends. He had a great spouse, or she had a great spouse, or family, whatever it was. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich, the nesters, to enter into the kingdom of God. That's what he's saying. The more you try to build up in this life, the harder it's going to be for you to follow God. The more you try to nest here, the less your nest is going to be there. He goes on 24, the disciples were amazed at this word because Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle, which is a slim gate that people walk through that camels couldn't fit through, than a rich man or a nester to enter into the kingdom of God. Listen, it's the kingdom message that's going to be preached to all. It's not something that makes your flesh feel good or whatever's being taught. It's about Jesus and his kingdom, and he's awesome, and he's ruler of it. And he died for you, and he died for me, but will we follow him? Will we enter into his kingdom? He says it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a nester, if you would. A man's got lots of stuff he depends on. It's a good word. It's like, man, I understand. I got these nests. I was putting so much value in these nests. The disciples were amazed, verse 26, and said to each other, who can be saved? Listen, don't put no watered down gospel before anybody. Let me tell you something. When you hear the gospel of God, the price of it, the cost of it is everything. Remember, we said, unless we're willing to give up everything. Everything. And so they're going, my goodness, when Jesus preached, I got to check myself and see if I'm in the kingdom of God. They started wondering. In 27, Jesus looked at them and said, listen, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Peter said to him in verse 28, we have left what? Everything. See that? The disciples, what did they leave? Everything. He says, Jesus, Peter said to Jesus, we have left everything to follow you. I tell you the truth. Jesus replied. He says, no one who has left their nest. He says, no one who has left their home or brother or sister or mother or father or children or even wife, he talks about in Luke 18, 29, or fields, which is your job or your career. Listen now, for me and the gospel, those two very important things, for me and the gospel, will not fail to receive 100 times, sounds like a reward, don't it? Will not fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, with them persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. Think about it. We talked about it. God rewards those who just follow him. What does he require of us? He requires of us not to nest. No, he doesn't mind you having a home, but he minds the home having you. You find out how much kingdom's in your heart when you bring the kingdom into your home. Are you having Bible studies there? You have abiding groups there? Do your family abide? Is there more darkness than light in there? Or do you go somewhere else for light, but you just continue having darkness in your own home? And you wonder what's going on? Why it's so difficult? Why your nest is all stirred up all the time? Hello? It's a nest. So for not nesting, for these two reasons, for Jesus and the gospel of the kingdom, it's not only okay with the Lord. Listen to this. It's not only okay with the Lord. It's not only expected of the Lord of us, but it's actually rewarded by God. So everything that people who don't serve God, who hate you because you do follow God and you ask them to follow God, and they say that you're crazy for following God, and they say it'll never happen, it'll never work for you, or your reward will never be. Yes, it will. God will reward you 100 times in this lifetime. In the lifetime to come. That's exactly right. So not only is it okay with God, not only is it expected of us by God, but it's actually rewarded by God. Remember Hebrews 11:6, God rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Earnestly seeking Him is not staying in some nest somewhere, doing things our way, and just reading every now and then about how God wants things, but never doing it. That's not nesting. That's actually learning what you're not doing, basically. So getting out of our nest, out of our comfort zone, is what Jesus called us out. We're called the sent out ones. We're called out of the world. We're supposed to be in it, but not of it. We're called from it to another world, to another life. So Luke 9:57-62, when he talks about the cost of following Jesus, as Jesus and his disciples were walking along, that man, remember, that man that called out, he said, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied, do not nest. Don't nest. The second you nest, you're going to have struggles. That nest will take you down. Jesus replied, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I'm not saying, you know, leave your family, but I am saying love God, and the consequences could be your family could leave you. You'll never know till you start following Him and quit compromising. Quit giving in to darkness. If somebody is threatening you and hating on you because you're loving on God, don't start hating God and loving on them. Love God more. Maybe they'll change. Maybe they'll follow God. Maybe they'll leave. Either way, God will feel loved. I'm not saying leave your job. I'm saying give your job to Jesus and let Him be the Lord of it. That's what I'm saying. Preach Jesus there in the kingdom in love. Preach the kingdom there. And if you get fired for this, you got fired because you didn't make it your nest. But if you don't say nothing because you're scared you're going to get fired, you've made it your nest. You've made it your God. That's what you've done. Yet God may ask you to leave your job. Just like what happened to Peter, James, and John. He said, listen, come. They dropped their business partners, by the way, in the fishing business, and they just dropped their nets and went. What am I saying? Whatever God asks you to do, do it. Quickly, without hesitation. Do not, listen to me, do not make a nest of your home. If God gave you a home, thank God for it, but realize it's His home, not your home. Don't make a nest of it. Don't make a nest of your marriage. Don't put your marriage over God. Don't follow darkness in your marriage and think you're following light. Follow God. You know, don't make a nest of your children. Don't make a nest of your father. Don't make a nest of your mother. Don't make a nest of your job. Don't make a nest of your sisters. Don't make a nest of your brothers. Don't make a nest of anything. Just like Jesus said Himself, everyone who does not give up everything, He has. He cannot be my disciple. What am I saying? I'm saying, are you nesting? The struggle's been, you've been trying to live in two kingdoms. You've been trying to have everything in this life and hope that you got something in the life to come. But you got to make up your mind. You're either God's or you're not God's. You're either in the kingdom. It's not such a thing as halfway in the kingdom of God. You're not halfway pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not pregnant. You're either in or you're not in. Now, if you're not in, you can come in. What do? You want to follow Jesus? What did He say? He said, follow me. Obey me. Make me the Lord of your life, He says. He says, leave everything, leave all your nests, and follow me. Abide with me. Hear what I'm saying. That's what abiding is. Read His word. Hide His word in our heart. Hear what He tells us and do it. That part, remember that part. So it's okay to step on the water. It's okay when Jesus asks you to, by the way, to get out of your comfort zone, to get out of your boat, to get out of your nest. Imitate those who have gone before you in faith. Imitate them. Refuse. Let me tell you something. Refuse to nest. Even if you don't even know and you look like you're nesting, mess it up. Make sure you're not depending on anything but Jesus. What's wrong with America right now? America has nested. But what is God doing? Just like a mother bird does, He's pulling out all those comforts. Why? So the church will wake up and turn their eyes, their hope, and their heart to the heavenly nest, the home that he's preparing for us, because it is not about this life. He's called us out of this life. Are you nesting? He called us not to nest. I just challenge you. Listen, your life is going to be so much more peaceful. You're going to, when you make up your mind, who's your God? When you make up your mind, do you want to live in this life only, or do you want to live forever with God? Do you want to live in darkness with your little nest today and burn in hell forever? Or do you want to live in the kingdom today and live in the kingdom forever? Are you nesting? Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord God, for the truth going forth, God. I thank you, Lord God, that this is the key. Anytime the difficulties came up in our lives, we can look back and go, oh, I started to nest. The reason why I see somebody's had some difficulty financially. The reason why is because all your financial decisions were based off nesting in this life. You're struggling in your marriage, you're struggling in your family. It's because you're based off of nesting. And the Lord is encouraging you, it's time to break away. Break away from those nests. Break away your trust and your hope, and just turn your trust and your hope to God. And realize that our Father loves us. And if he takes care of the birds of the air, how much more will he take care of you? In Jesus' name.
If you haven't yet met Father God through his Son, Jesus Christ, let me introduce you to him at meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. For more teachings like this from myself, Greg Lancaster, and others, go to vfntv.com. You can also download the VFN TV app by searching your mobile phone app store or by going to vfntv.com. And you'll be able to join us at VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're seeking to educate ourselves on what is taking place in today's world, to illuminate it with God's perspective from his word, and inspire you in your daily walk with the Lord, and to activate you in your destiny with God that he's called you to. For more information, go to vfntv.com. VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program is brought to you by our partners of Greg Lancaster Ministries at greglancasterministries.org.